أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من سنة بسم الدين. أما بعد، last Thursday we stopped on the name of Allah سبحانه وتعالى العليم الخبير، and we said that Allah سبحانه وتعالى is the most knowledgeable العليم and all knowing الخبير or is all aware بخبر. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor of all knowledge in this whole universe, not just in this world but the whole kaun. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. And above every person who possesses knowledge, there is one who is alim, more knowledgeable than that, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has the knowledge above the prophets, above the awliyaullah, above the anbiya, above the rusul, above every possession. In fact, as the knowledge is described, that whatever knowledge any human being possesses, the maximum knowledge me and you as a human being possess, is not even a pint size compared to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, there is no limit to it, there is no dimension to it. See, my and your knowledge can be confined to certain threshold level. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-aleem, meaning the parameters of knowledge itself also are confined within the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning Allah's knowledge surpasses all the dimension and parameters of knowledge. That is why He is Al-Alim. Now there are certain aspects of Allah. He's Al-Alim in the sense that He knows what is in our heart. We talked about that last Thursday. He's Alim that He knows what is in our intention before we know what we want to do it. He is Al-Alim in the sense that He knows everything about us till the death, and how we'll be born, where we'll be born, to whom, where we're going to die, where is our rizq, our ma'ash, what's going to happen in our in the qada and qadar, what's going to happen in our destiny and fate, everything Allah knows of. Second, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the bestower of knowledge, al-aleem, meaning He gives knowledge. 1,000 years ago, people did not know how to fly. But that does not mean that the knowledge and the art of building something, a plane, was not there. It was there. Allah knew about it. But He did not release it to the humanity, to mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Alim in the sense that He releases the knowledge in due time, biqadarihi. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says many times in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And Allah is most able above everything, because He gives people knowledge. People did not have knowledge of being able to have information stored in a small chip, even at 100 years ago. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, Al-Alim, who released that knowledge. So that is one aspect. Another aspect of it. One aspect of it is knowledge of our deeds, our actions, knowledge of what is happening in ourselves. Second aspect, knowledge of all the information for each single human being, Bani Adam, every single child born from the time of Adam al Islam till the last day. Allah is well aware and knowledgeable about what's going to happen to them, how they're going to live, how they're going to have risk, ma'ash, whether they're going to marry or not marry, how long they're going to live. That's the third dimension. And the fourth dimension aspect is that Allah is the releaser of knowledge to mankind, humanity. Human being is restricted in knowledge. People 1,000 years ago, even if they wanted to fly, they could not think of. Why? Because the human brain could not go in that dimension. Otherwise, somebody could have thought, okay, let me just build a plane. They did not even know the word P-L-A-N-E, plane. They didn't know what a plane was. But who gave one human being, the brain, the knowledge that there is something known as plane? Allah. Allah released it. In other words, this thing that we call intuition, where does it come from? Allah. And where and how can you acquire intuition? The formula for that in the Quran is juhd, work. It's not just because the Wright brothers were very beloved to Allah, so Allah bestowed upon them, there you go, you patented, you developed it, you invented, and humanity will know forever that there was once Wright brothers who invented how to fly. Not just because Allah loved them, no. Because they worked, they kept trying and trying. And Allah promises in the Quran that I give due reward and return for your effort, for your work. Regardless of whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim. Yes, if you're Muslim, Allah gives you more. But if you are a Muslim that is implementing the ahkam of the Zil-Ali. But if we don't implement these ahkam, then Allah says, I shall withdraw my favors upon. And that is one of the favors that Allah put upon them. The other thing of Khadir, Khadirun bi'ibadihi, this is the aspect of that ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is well aware of what is going to happen. Meaning, as we are sitting and as we are going, progressing with our lives, every single second that we think, even that we are, even if you want to raise your finger, Allah is Khabir, that this human being, Fulan ibn Fulan Bani Adam, is about to raise their finger, is about to raise their eyesight, is about to turn this direction. This is the part of the knowledge of Allah, of being Khabir, Khabar, information, news. Meaning Allah is very well aware of every single nafs, and He's also Khabirun bi all the makhlukat that is on this earth. Khabir of the ant that is underneath the ground. Khabir of the plants, that how and when will the leaf come off of it. So that is the aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. This ayah is in Surah An'am, verse 18. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. And He is the most able and most applicable and most strong in the sense of His power, His authority. The qahr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ, above His slaves. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. Why is He قَاهِرْ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ? Because He's Al-Hakim, most wise, and Al-Khabir. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, in Surah An'am, used two of His names that are very close to each other. Hikmah, wisdom, Hakim, most wise. There's nobody more wiser than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean to have be Al-Hakim of Allah? Hikmah. That Allah knows when and where something is good for you or something is bad for you. And also Allah knows the wisdom that in the bad that is afflicting you is good in. That's why the hadith of Rasulullah said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرُهُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ. That it is very strange and surprising that the amal of a believer, all of it is khayr. Good of it and bad of it. A car accident is also good. A sickness, a disease is also good in. There is any negative element that you think of in this dunya, oh, I am in negativity right now, there is good in it. This is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Asa an tuhibbu shay'an wa huwa kurhun lakum. Perhaps there is something that is good for you, but you hate it, you dislike it. Kurh. Why? Because Allah is al-Hakim. And also He says, Wa asa an takrahu shay'an wa huwa khayrun lakum. There is perhaps something that you hate, you dislike. You don't want it. But there is khayr in it. You have to go towards it. You have to go through that shar or bad, whatever it is, in order to get the khayr. And that is why Rasulullah said in the hadith that if good afflicts it, then he hamad Allah. That's why we say Allah is Al-Hamid, Hamidul Majid. That if good comes to the mu'min in the affairs, then he gives thanks to Allah SWT because of the hikmah of Allah SWT. And if bad afflicts it, sabra alayh, fa'ajruhu ala Allah. And if bad afflicts the person, the sharad, the thing that we hate, if bad afflicts it, the person is sabir, patient on it, then Allah will bestow the reward. This is the aspect of Allah's ilm of hikmah, al-hakim. And that's why He uses the word here with khabir. Al-hakim, al-khabir. Why is He hakim? Because He's well aware of what is necessary for His slaves. And why is He khabir? Because from the wisdom, He knows when and where is good. And that is why Allah SWT says in the Quran, that it is from the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wanted, He could have just opened the floodgates of treasures, of wealth upon us. وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِلُ بِقَدْرِ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that if He wants, He could have just opened the risk and the doors of risk upon us. But He reveals it بِقَدْرِ, in stages, in phases, in amounts, fixed amounts. He doesn't give our risk all at one time. Why? Not to corrupt us, not to harm us. Because we might just, suppose one of the harm is, we get too much involved in money, we get too much, you know, fixed to it. We become greedy and lustful. So Allah knows, it is from the hikmah of Allah, Al-Hakim. He knows that if this person in future, and it's from the khabar of Allah, Al-Khabir, He knows that if this person, I give him too much money, he's going to become a dunya person, just love. Whereas there is another person, he knows that even if I give him all the money, he's not going to become a dunya person. Hence, that person becomes a billionaire, trillionaire, zillionaire. Because Allah knows, Al-Hakim, Al-Khabir, He knows that this person, no matter how much money I deliver down to them in risk, he or she will not become fixed to the money. They will not become greedy and so desirous of money that they will leave their priorities of deen. That's why you see that Uthman ibn Affan was ghani, Uthman ghani. Because Allah knows from his hikmah and khidra and khabar and ilm that is, will not corrupt Uthman. So he is, the more he's spending, the more he's getting. And same thing with Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari, Abu Ubayd ibn Jarrah, all these big stalwarts of Sahaba who were like millionaires and billionaires of that time. But at the same time, there were others who did not have that much, they had qadr. There's two reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed our portions of risk. One is not to get us corrupted. Second is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing us, imtihan. With the fixed risk, like somebody has more, somebody has less, Allah is testing us in two aspects, shukr and sabr. When this person who has less to do, when he looks at the above, does he have sabr or not? And when this person who has fixed, after looking at above, he also looks down those who are below his threshold level of mal and risk, he looks at them and then gives shukr to Allah. Oh Allah, thank you so much for you giving me so much. Because there is someone below me, I see that, and someone above me, I see that. Meaning at every side of the spectrum, when you look at someone richer than you, when you look at someone poorer than you, only two aspects come. Sabr, when it's above, and shukr, when it's below. And that is why Rasulullah said, that when it comes to the umur of dunya, when it comes to the issues of dunya, always to look to someone who is below you. So that you never get the hasad, the enmity, the jealousy, the envy, the oh, why I have less, no. You always look downward. Don't worry about people above you who are millionaires and richer than you. And when he said also in the same hadith that when it comes to the umur of akhirah, jannah and akhirah, amal and all that, don't look to someone below you. Rather, look to someone above you. Because there, the hasad is good. La hasad illa fi ithnain, Rasulullah said in the hadith. And that hasad is not really called hasad, it is ghibta. Ghibta meaning the good, positive desire that you have. That, oh, that person is donating so much in the way of Allah SWT. I want to work harder, get more money and also donate like that. Oh, that person has so much knowledge, they distribute their knowledge, they are delegating their knowledge. I want to also learn and study more and be like them and try to give more knowledge. Oh, you see that person praying tahajjud and qiyam and nawafil and salah and siyam. Oh, that person, I see them every Thursday fasting. I want to be like them. I want to fast also Thursday. This is not hasad, this is ghibta. And it's good. Because in terms of akhirah, you want to be like this. You want to be competing for akhirah, because that is the end goal of this dunya. You don't want to be competing each other in dunya. That if they have four cars, I gotta have five cars. If they have two houses, I gotta have three houses. Rather, we should be looking how many times are they fasting nafil? How many times are they praying nawafil? How many times are they doing good deeds? How many times are they helping the poor and needy? How many times are they participating in charitable action? That is the competition that we need to look for. With that comes to the next name is Al-Hamid. After Al-Hakim, Al-Khabir, and Al-Alim, we have Hamid, Hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned this briefly last Thursday also, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran very beautifully, in Surah 40, Surah 35, verse 15, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ وَالْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. That all people, all human beings, you are the ones who are really in essence poor, in poverty, fuqara, ilallah, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu huwa al-ghani al-hamid. And Allah, He is the one who is most rich, al-ghani, al-hamid, the most deserving of all praise, the praiseworthy. Al-hamid comes from hamd. Hamd literally means to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why when we recite the Fatiha, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, look, look, unzuru, look at this abd. Hamadani Abdi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the malaika angels that look, this slave of mine is praising me. Hamadani Abdi. This is a hadith Qudsi that Rasulullah narrated to us that Allah told him to tell us that whenever we recite Fatiha either in Salah or outside Salah, Allah is always also mentioning us to the angels that look, angels come. This is the insan, this is the Bani Adam that I told you about. This is the Bani Adam I told is going to be Khalifa. This is the Bani Adam that I created. And I asked you all to make sujood. Why? Because look, he has the choice or she has the choice to not give hamd Allah, to not pray, to disobey Allah. They have the freedom and will to go the other way, but they chose not to, rather they chose to be obedient. So that is why Allah's mother then praises me and you, Bani Adam, in front of Malaika, telling them what? Malaika, you had no choice, you had to obey me, Allah. Amma, Bani Adam had the option to say no, but they say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So that's why Allah then purposely mentions in front of Malaika, Hamadani Abdi, Majadani Abdi. When we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah says to the angels, Majadan Ya'd, meaning my Abd has glorified me. Why? Because we take the name of Allah SWT. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, two of the most beloved names of Allah SWT. And that is why Rasulullah said, if you want to name your children, name them Abdul Rahman, Abdul Rahim. These are the most beloved names of the 99 names of Allah SWT. What is this ayah in reference to? This ayah is reference to that Allah SWT is saying He is the most rich and He is the most deserving of all praise, because everything that is in this dunya, it is from Allah SWT. So who is most deserving of Allah's praise? Of course Allah, no one else. And the hamd of Allah SWT is of two types. Hamd in dunya, whenever you are in this dunya, hamd. And hamd fil akhir, giving thanks to Allah SWT for allowing us to enter Jannah, for allowing us to pass the Sirat bridge easily and pass, and for forgiving us our sins. Remember, even those Muslims who will get to make it to Jannah and they have detoured and bypassed Jahannam, they are not free of sin. None of us is ma'fumeen. None of us, except for the Anbiya wa Rusul. So every Bani Adam, kullu Bani Adam khatta'un, wa khairul khatta'un at-tawwabun. Every Bani Adam is prone, is affinity to doing mistakes and errors and sins. Nobody can claim I'm free. I have no sin in my account. On Day of Judgment, I'm going to have a clean slate. Nobody can claim that. So from the hand of Allah is over here, the abd and the amah, the slave man and the slave woman will know on the Day of Judgment that yes, in dunya, yatazakkar. They will recall, because they'll be shown their book, they'll be shown a videotape. This is what you did in your 40, 50, 60, 70 years of life, or 10 years of life, whatever years you had, there's a video being played. So you're seeing every graphic image, you're being told, this is what you did. So you know very well how good and bad a person was. And then it is announced to that person, khalas, you're going to Jannah. At that moment, hamdul akhirah will come from the heart of the person. That, oh Allah, gratitude, shukr, oh Allah, thanks. I remembered my sins, and now you did not hold me for that. You did not catch me for that. You let me go. Yes, you let me. You let my mizan go the other way. You let me go to Jannah. Or whereas I had so many sins. At that moment, the person will truly cry from the inner of their heart. They know very well who they are. It's like, to give not an example to compare to Allah, but like in this dunya, we have some mistake, we have some sin or something. We go to the court, to the judge, and the judge says, according to the New Jersey state law, this should be there. But you know what? I'm going to let you go. If you go for community service or for probation, I'll let you go on this. But technically, as a judge, I can do that. At that moment, what is your feeling inside? Yes, you know the bars are there. You could have been wearing that orange suit and be there. But the judge says, how about you do community service? How about you do some probation or something? Would you want that? What fool will say that, no, I'd rather go in the behind the bars and forget the community service. I don't want to work. It's too hard for me to work. I'm a lazy person. No. Every sane person, only the insane will say probably, yeah, I want to go behind the bars. But every sane person is going to say, judge, let me take that option. I'll take that first option. I don't want it. And that moment, what kind of feeling you have spiritually, mentally, inside? Exuberation. Exhilaration. Because you know that you're guilty, but the judge says, alaf. Same way, or might not same way, but 100 times more than that, Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah is showing you all the bad deeds and all the good deeds, and then He says, since your good deeds outnumber your bad deeds, I as Allah allow you to go to Jannah. But if I, Allah, wanted to hold you for those bad deeds, you could have not gone to Jannah. And that is why Rasulullah said, that the true hamd of Allah, Allah is Hamid, Hamidul Majid. Why? Because none of us will enter Jannah based on our a'mal. So the Sahaba said, "Hatta anta ya Rasulullah." He said, "Hatta ana illa yataghammadani Allah bi rahmatihi." He said, "Even I, as a prophet of Allah, as a messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, cannot enter Jannah except and Allah covers me. Yataghammadani Allah bi rahmatihi. Allah covers me up, showers me with His mercy." Had that shower and covering of mercy would not be there, even I as Bani Adam cannot enter. Why is he saying this? To make me and you realize that don't boast, don't be proud about your good deeds, your amal. Oh, I've done so many hajj. I have married, I've helped people marry so many times. I have built so many masajid. Oh, I'm squared off. I'm pretty cool. I'm taken care of. No. You don't know that one sin, one ism Allah holds on that, all these masajid, all these hajj, all these go right away. And you might say, wait a second, they're very heavy deeds, they're big amal. But Allah says, this one sin is so humongous compared to that, your whole mizan took. So that is why Rasulullah was saying that keep praising Allah, keep making tahmeed, hamd of Allah, because Allah loves this, and because of this, Allah, who knows, will let you into Jannah. Even if the sins are big enough, because Allah is the King, He's the Malik on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He can do whatever He wants to. And that's why the scholars say, فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ لِذَاتِهِ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ لِصِفَاتِهِ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ لِأَفْعَالِهِ. Why? What are they saying when it comes to the name of Allah al-Hamid? لَهُ الْحَمْدُ لِذَاتِهِ. Just because Allah is Allah, is sufficient to give hamd to Him. I don't have to give Allah hamd because He gave me clothes, He gave me food, He gave me parents. No! Just because Allah gave me birth to come into this dunya, He allowed me to be born in this dunya, He gave me hayah, a life, a breath to breathe. Just because of that, Allah is Allah. Lizadi, I have to give shukr and hamd to Allah. I have to praise Allah. That is one aspect. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ لِصِفَاتِهِ. Now that I've been born in this dunya, now that I go through education and knowledge and I know who is Allah, Allah is my Khaliq, Allah is my Razik, Allah is my Malik, Allah is my Musawwir, Allah is Al-Bari, and all these names, as I get to know Allah more and more for its effect, the only thing, when you get to know Allah, what comes out of your heart? What comes out of your tongue spontaneously? Shukr, hamd. Nothing. I mean, even if you want to stop your tongue from saying Alhamdulillah, you will not be able to stop. It will come spontaneously, automatically. Like we say, you're driving on the highway, suddenly you see something going on, car swerving or some big truck turn. Nobody has to come and tell you, get your leg off the gas pedal, put on brake. It is so spontaneous, you switch automatically, boom, you hit on the brake.
Reaction.
What do you call that word?
Reaction,
not the fact. Right, not the fact. It's a reaction, automatically. Your brain is automatically digesting the affairs, and automatically it processes the signal, sends the neuron and hits on your leg, and your leg gets on the brake. That's the same thing when it comes to Allah. That when you get to know Allah, Sifatullah, who is Allah? What is Allah? Where is Allah? And what are the beauties of the Sifat of Allah? When you get to know that, your heart automatically reacts, automatically, spontaneously it comes up, and you can't even suppress it at that time. Like if you're hitting that brake on your car to save yourself, somebody comes and tries to get your leg off, hey, don't hit the brake. You're going to say, get out of here. You're going to push him because you know you want to save your life. You have to hit the brake. In the same way, somebody tries to suppress you from giving hamd to Allah, you're going to poke them out. Say, no. That's what Bilal ibn Rabah did. They said, don't say ahad, don't say ahad. He kept on saying, ahadun, ahadun. This is the hamd of Bilal for his Rabb, lisifati. And then he said, walau alhamdu liaf'alihi. See, one is that just for Allah, knowing Allah, you give hamd. Second, to get to know the properties, attributes of Allah, you give hamd. Third, when you get to know the af'al of Allah, that Allah created me, Allah let me have parents, whereas there are so many orphans in dunya, Allah let me have rizq, Allah let me have clothes, let me have a good life, that I was not starving, whereas other people didn't have that many clothes, other people didn't have that many food, other people did not have parents, other people did not have a good education, I had these things. For af'al of Allah, when you see the ma'amilat of Allah with you, again, the hamd comes spontaneously. And that is why Allah says, وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Allah uses His name Ghani and Hamid. But together, why? Because Allah is the most rich, meaning whatever He gives to us, it doesn't, لَا يَنْقُصُ شَيْءٍ عَنْدَهُ. Not a single mustard seed size of His treasure is reduced when He gives us something. So He's Ghani. And that is why He said in this ayah, Ya your nest, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. O people, you are the one who are poor in front of Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. And Allah is ever rich, He's most rich, He never gets poor. Why was this ayah revealed? The sabab al-nuzul of this ayah, the reason of revelation was that when Musa al-Islam asked the Bani Israel, come, give donation fi sabilillah, help in the way of Allah. They said, Ya Musa, what kind of Rabb you have? What kind of Lord you got? Bakhir, he's stingy, he doesn't have money, he's faqir. Your Rabb is poor, Musa, he's faqir. وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ اسْتَغْفَ اللَّهُ عَزِيمُ لَحَا. Can you imagine the audacity, the courage for a qawm to say that Allah is faqir? Why? Because he's asking for money. We know that Allah doesn't need money. In fact, we know, where did we get the money in the first place? Allah gave me the money. If I just think that I went there, worked 8 hours a day, and I got some paycheck, or I got some profit in my business, I'm the biggest fool on this earth. Because I know that my work could have not earned me any money. So therefore, Allah responded back to the Qawm of Bani Israel, to the people of Musa, telling, and Allah is narrating to Muhammad in Quran to show Muhammad that look, let your people know that before them came a Qawm who were so bad that they insulted Allah by saying, of course they cannot insult Allah because no one can insult Allah. Allah's Izzah and Maqam is always there. Even if somebody does blasphemy, it doesn't decrease anything in the Izzah and Maqam of Allah. But they were rude to Allah and they said Allah is faqir, and they make a justification. Allah is faqir because he's asking for money. His prophet is saying, give us money, fi sabilillah. So Allah responded back to that saying, O people, ya yunnas, antum al-fuqara ila Allah. You are the ones in need of Allah. What if Allah just holds back your risk? What if this money that you have in your pockets, in your hand, and this prophet is asking you to give, what if this money, Allah makes it burn, Allah makes it disappear? What's going to happen? Split second, money gone, you're now on the street. Now who is faqir and who is ghani? So Allah wanted to make them clear in their mind. See, this is where the aqidah comes into place. Their aqidah was not clean, was not straight. They had problems in aqidah. That's why when the prophet asked to donate in the way of Allah, they said, oh, Allah is faqir. Amma ahna, we know as Muslim our aqidah, alhamdulillah, is clean and straight. That when somebody asks for money in the way of Allah, it's not that they're giving to Allah. We are helping fi sabilillah. Meaning Allah is the one who distributing money all over the dunya. Kull ad-dunya. And now Allah wants to channel that money to have the houses built, the masajid built, the hospitals built, the school built. Allah is not going to just open a floodgate from their head. This is the money for the masjid, money for the school. He's going to channel and streamline that money from amongst the people. Where? He's going to give tawfiq to people to give money. And therefore somebody has to get up. First it's the anbiya. After the anbiya it's the ulama who get up and they say, please give in the way of Allah. And then, related with these names, we have the next set of names, which we will take for today. It is Al-Aziz, Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Al-Muqtadir, Al-Qawiy, Al-Mateen. All these six names are related to Al-Ghani and Al-Hamid. How? First one, Al-Aziz, the Mighty, Allah, the Almighty, Al-Aziz, from Izzah, Al-Qahr, Al-Jabarut, Al-Qadir, the Most Able, وَاللَّهُ قَادِرٌ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ قَدِيرٌ from قَدَرَ قُدْرَ, meaning having the capability. So Allah is the most capable, Al-Qadir, for anything. Wherever anybody can think of that our highest point reaches, that is not even, that is before the beginning of Allah. And Allah's end is no end. So Allah is Al-Qadir, the most capable, Al-Qadir, the most able. They both come from the same root word. Al-Muqtadiru, the most powerful, Muqtadir. Al-Qawi, from Quwa, the most strong. There is no might, there's no might and strength other than the might and strength of Allah. That is why we say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no strength and no power and no strength in the sense that except illa billah, except in Allah. Meaning we have whatever strength and power we have, it is just a mercy from Allah. Nothing is from us. Just because I ate some fruits and vegetables and vitamins and beef and protein, I got a body, I've come on. Allah can just press one button in our body, it's like the whole air getting out of the balloon. Now moments ago you were thinking you have a lot of strength, you can punch, you can do something boxing, and the moment you punch you see that your whole bone is cracked and broken. Where did the quwwah go? And that is what Allah is saying. Don't be fooled. The quwwah and strength you have in your body, it's only merely a blessing from Allah, a gift from Allah. So therefore, praise the most powerful, praise the most strength and strong, and the most able. Muqtadir wal-qawi wal-mateen, from matan, firm, stability, meaning there is no swaying and swerving. Why? Why does Allah tell us this? Because no matter how strong a Bani Adam is, any human being, no matter how strong they become, the best wrestler, the best boxer, the best bodybuilder, whatever you're going to say, there is a point in them that the law of averages, the fatigue will take over. Initially, when they're pumped up, they have eaten everything, they start right off the bat, yes, they are strong. But even in their strength, they might swerve, they might sway a little bit. Maybe their target is off limit, nishana bar. Like they go hitting on this and they hit one millimeter, they hit on this side. That's why they're not mateen, matan, meaning they're not firm. And Allah is al-firm. Allah is the firm one, al-mateen. Meaning when Allah wants something to happen somewhere, it is right there, pinpoint, not an inch this way, not an inch there, not even a millimeter this and that. It's so right on target. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed that property, sifa of His mateen, in Surah Al-Fil. When Abraha was coming with the elephant's feet, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. You want to see the real name of Allah is Al-Mateen? Look in the Surah Al-Fil. Allah is asking me and you, أَلَمْ تَرَ, O you, the reader of the Quran, did you not see? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Did you not see how your Rabb Allah did with the people of the elephant? How? That the birds, they were so precise and firm in precision that each bird that it laid down the stone, the pebbles, it hit each person. Otherwise, they're coming from so many miles away. Even today, the best missile that you get, it has a degree of plus and minus here and there. And my missile of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so pinpoint. It will hit the head, it will hit the head. In fact, some riwayat say that the stones had names of people written on it. So the stone had to get to that person on whose name? That's what they call today in technology era, laser-guided missile. If it's locked in, the coordinates are locked in, it's going to keep on chasing. Even if they ignite a flare, sometimes these airplanes, they ignite a flare to divert that missile because it's laser-guided, going after the chemical reaction, the fire. But that's what I'm telling you, that this missile is human man-made thing. It can be fooled. And the missile from Allah SWT is Qawiyyun Mateen. It cannot be fooled. If you try to divert it, it will still come back to the person that it's meant for. The reason I wanted to bring up this issue was to show you a lot of people fail to understand what does Mateen really mean. Because they're very close to each other. Qawiyyu, Azizu, Muqtadiru, Qadiru. And then you have Mateen also. Because Allah is saying He is so firm that there is no dwindling, there is no swerving, there is no swaying anywhere. It's just, it's stable, it's firm. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran a very beautiful ayah that shows us the real meaning of this verse, and this meaning. Where is this? Yeah. Inna Allah huwa razzaq dhul quwwati al-mateen. It's one of my favorite ayahs. Oh, although the whole Quran is favorite. But why is this ayah favorite? This ayah, by the way, is in Surah Dhariyat, Surah 51, verse 58. Allah SWT tells us about the issue of risk, provision, food, money, wealth, risk. Allah is saying, Inna Allah, indeed, verily Allah, who is Allah? Huwa Razzaq. Allah is the provider, the all provider, Ar-Razzaq. Risk comes, the word risk is also from that word. Ar-Razzaq. Allah is the provider. What kind of provider is Allah? What kind of Razik is Allah? Dhul Quwwatil Mateen. Such provider of risk. Zu, the word Zu, that and wa in Arabic means someone who is possessor of. Like you say, Hadha Rajulun Zu Khulukin. This is a man that is possessor of good manners. Hadha Rajulun Zu Ilmin. This is a man possessor of ilm. And so on and so forth. So when you say Allah's mother is Zul Quwwatul Mateen, meaning Allah is Razzaq, and look at two of the sifat of Allah, two of the attributes of Allah that He brought in to explain to us about His Razzaq, that is Quwwa and Mateen. Strength, meaning He never gets weak. No matter how much He gives rizq, never gets weak. And then ba'dayn, Mateen, He is firm. Meaning when He gives you rizq, that rizq that you receive is not something that is fluffy and will sway and dwindle away. It has power, it has firmness, stability. How? Because talabul rizq ibadah. The Rasul said, or kama qala in a hadith, he said, talabul rizq wa halal, earning halal rizq is an ibadah. That's what Rasul said, meaning he's telling us, encouraging to earn halal rizq. So if we earn halal rizq through halal means, that rizq that we earn is coming from Allah Dhul Quwwatul Mateen. It has strength, meaning purchasing power, buying power in it, and it is firm, meaning it does not dwindle away right away. You just earn $100 today in the day, this is your risk, or you earn 2,000 salary this week or this month, whatever the rift you earn, you don't see that 2,000 being spent and went and going away in 2 days, in 2 hours. Why? Because it's sweat, blood, effort. You put so much thing. Imagine if you earned 2,000 in 2 weeks and it was spent in 2 hours. How would you feel? You feel hazeen, depressed. You say, wow, I work so hard, I earn so much money. After so much time, I get 2,000. It goes away in 2 hours. Now I have to work more harder to survive. Another 2 hours? Mateen. But yes, that is what Allah is saying. I am Razzaq, Zul Quwwah, I give you with strength authority. And it is Mateen. What I give you, it is very firm. It stays in your pocket, in your bank, in your houses. And you use it. Meaning whatever monthly salary you have, weekly salary you have, or daily salary you have, it is sufficient for you, it is firm. Provided there's one condition. If it's through halal means. Now let's come to the other aspect. Suppose it was through haram means. You cheated someone. You lied to someone. You earned the risk. You shortchanged someone. You were supposed to work 8 hours that day. You worked only 6 hours. And you didn't even tell the boss where you were 2 hours. Yes, you'll get the 2,000 for that salary, whether it was a weekly, monthly paycheck. But that 2,000, where it would have gone after, say, 3 weeks, it will go away in 2 weeks. In other words, what is Allah telling us? The essence, barakah. Barakah in money comes from this sifa of Allah, al-mateen. But Allah says, as long as you have rizq halal, as long as you have the new intention to earn halal, and stay away from all this haram and mischief, remember my rizq is mateen, sufficient for you, firm for you. But if you go in hasad, in desire, in hasad and jealousy and greed, and hubb al-dunya, hubb al-mal, if you go in this frenzy, and you forget about halal, you start robbing people, cheating people, you know, lying to people, earning risk through haram means. That's Allah Razzaq and Allah is Quwwah. He's still giving them money and risk through halal, I mean through Quwwah and everything, but it's no longer mateen. You see the money you earned, like suppose you earned 100,000 in 2 hours. You just made money like that, 100,000 in 2 hours. You see that same 100,000 go away in 20 minutes. And you'd be surprised, wait a second. That was quick cash, quick money, I made it. And I thought it was going to last me at least 3 months. Well, actually, at least a month is going to last, 100,000. But he went away in 20 minutes. What did I do? Yes, Allah, meaning Allah is saying he's mateen. If he knows how to give you money, he also knows how to take away money, snatch away money from you. If you cheated someone, you deceived from someone, you lied someone, you took money from haram means, Allah is saying, okay, you'll get the money, meaning I will not stop you from taking money from haram means. You get the money, it'll come into your pocket, come into your account, but you'll see it'll go away from your account. Account is frozen by the authorities. What are you going to do? 100,000 sitting there, you can't touch. Who did that? Allah, not the authorities. Because Allah is watching. One of the names we're going to cover very soon is Raqib. He's watching, Raqab. Meaning, Raqib comes from literally word of Raqab. Raqab means neck. Meaning Allah has always a watch over your neck, your head. You can't even move anywhere. So those people who earn risk through haram means, they're only fooling themselves because they're under the microscope of Allah. So who are they going to cheat? Their boss, their company, their client, customer? Not Allah. And Allah is going to snatch away that money. Because remember, when you take haram money from someone, it is their halal money. Somebody worked very hard, laboriously, earned that money, and now you cheated them, you did a scam, con artist, you took away that money now. It's their halal money. How would they feel? So then Allah is going to make you pain more, have more taklif pain, because you cheated someone from their halal money. And Allah is going to give them reward. Because sometimes people say, what is their mistake? What is their dhamm? What did they do wrong? It was their halal money. No. Allah will return them more in future with more reward and dividend. So this is the aspect of Al-Aziz from Izzah, Al-Qadir. And the Izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's more in detail, but we don't want to really go in that detail. It's mighty, meaning Allah is so mighty and strong that here in this name it is a warning to the adu of Allah, enemy of Allah. It is a warning to all those who are enemies of Allah and the followers of Allah. That look, no matter how strong you become, you can never become more stronger than Al-Aziz, mighty. And also in this name is embedded a very another lutf, a very, very delicate thing. That Allah is Aziz, but He is not vindictive. Allah is not vindictive, meaning He doesn't always take revenge and very provocative that He provokes you. No, He is strong and mighty, but He gives people respite, gives them time. The biggest tyrant and dictator, no matter how much zulm and quwwah they use and everything, Allah is watching them, giving them power and time. Suddenly he snatches away the rope, he takes it and takes them. Akhza azizun muqtadir. Allah says in the Quran that he takes people, akhza, taking accountability, azizun muqtadir, very strong, mighty accountability, such that they are helpless. Look at Firaun, look at Namrud. Why go so far? Look at Saddam Hussein, not too far. So that's what Allah is aziz. Qadir, Qadir, Muqtadir, we already explained, they're all coming from the same word, the capability, meaning no matter how much capable and able insan can become in dunya, even if they go to moon and Jupiter and Saturn, they are still not more Qadir or Qadir or Muqtadir than Allah. In fact, the best way to explain these three names of Allah, and we'll finish with this, is in Surah Rahman. Al-Qadir, Al-Qadir, Muqtadir, Allah says, Ya ma'shar al-jinni wal-ins, in istata'tum, and tanfudu min aqtar al-samawati wal-ard, tanfudu. Allah says, go ahead, tanfudu. La tanfuduna illa bi sultan. What is Allah saying, translation? Ya ma'shar al-jinn wal-ins. See, first Allah mentioned jinn. That's why the scholars use this ayah saying, jinn were created before us and they lived here on earth before us. They did their mischief. That's why the malaika said when Allah was creating Adam, that why are you creating a new creation in sand but Adam? He will also do the mischief and shed blood. How did the malaika know that? Are they alim? No. They knew because of prior the jinn. So Allah says here, Ya ma'ashur al-jinn wal-ins. All the people of, or the collection of jinn and ins. In istata'atum. If you are able, istata' capable, you know, qadir ala shay, if you are able, and tanfudu min aqtar al-samawat wal-ard, if you are able to go, not just outside the domain of earth, min aqtar al-samawat wal-ard, for outside the galaxy, if you want to go outside the galaxy, fanfudu. Allah is saying, go ahead, by all means, you have full permission from me. You don't need to ask any permission. Go ahead. Go, try your best luck. Throw the best stone, throw the best astronaut out in the space, see what you can do. Fanfudu. But Allah says, لا تنفدون. You will never be able to do it. إلا بسلطان. Unless Allah has authority. That is why NASA was not able to go to moon or other space station until Allah willed it. They were working and working and research, trying mishaps. Many times they send, you know, space station. Many times they send the rockets and things. Skylab. You must have heard back in the 70s, a very famous Skylab satellite was thrown by NASA. And he went berserk, he started coming on land, people got scared, he's going to land on humanity on earth somewhere. And then luckily he went into the ocean next to Australia and New Zealand. But people were scared. Because Allah is showing there, that at that moment, in the 70s, this ayah of Surah Ahmad fits very right. They tried their best, they threw the thing up, it didn't go. Let them photo because Sultan was not there from Allah. Then finally they made the space shuttle, Columbia, whatnot. Allah gave them the Sultan, the permission, so space shuttle went. Went and all that. So even today they're trying as best as they can to go to Mars, to go to Saturn, Jupiter, but they can't. They throw a rover, a robot on Mars, trying to find should we go or not, because Sultan is not there, and Allah knows that, and they know that they are trying their best, but Allah is showing them, look, what are you Qadir at? What are you Muqtadir? What are you Qadir? Allah is Qadirun ala kulli shay. Wallahu bi kulli shayin qadir. And Allah can do everything. If you want, meaning, what is Allah really telling them? Telling them, don't spend so much billions and billions of dollars on NASA. Qul ashhadu an la ilaha illallah rasulullah. Come make sujood to Allah, read the Quran, and then ask Allah with raising your two hands, oh Allah, help NASA. See how will Allah help NASA. And there is a message for me and you also, Muslims. Allah is saying, these people are not Muslims. Mush muwahideen. They're not monotheists, muwahideen. They don't believe in the true unity of Allah. Yet Allah has given them so much success. They built a big ship, space shuttle. They built a big space station out there. So Allah is telling me and you, if you Muslims, as much as hard work you're doing with Iman, Salah, Zakah, Siyam, if you Muslims earn knowledge and come in this direction, dimension of space and this, I as Allah will open the floodgates. Because Allah is Muqtadir, Qadir, Qadir. All you have to do is pray two rak'ah sunnah and say, oh Allah, I am sending this ship as a Muslim scientist, as a Muslim, you know, doctorate or whatever. Oh Allah, Anta Qadir wa Qadir, help us. You'll see Muslim will be the first way to get to Saturn and Jupiter.
That's what happened with the moon.
With who?
That's what happened with the moon.
With the moon? You don't know if the moon was real or not.